Really excited about this morning. This is something that we, as a church, we need to take time to do this periodically, at least once a year. But that is to take a break, and we're taking a one-week break from the book of Romans to discuss church membership. And for us, that's going to look a lot like this. We're going to, and I'm going to ask you right now to go ahead and get your outline out or take your worship guide and open up. And you will see that the outline today is the ABC, or the Alberta Baptist Church Membership Covenant. And so this is the first time that we have from the pulpit walked through this covenant. But, you know, believe this is something that we need to do often. I believe there's a lot of people who are probably here today. And by the way, there's a lot of people here today. And I'm excited. Like, this is what we pray for. Like, we want to do this like several times a day. Okay, like, this is fantastic. And but I believe, as I look around, I bet there are some of you who you have some need for clarity on what church membership is. And then more specifically to that, you need to know what membership looks like at Alberta Baptist Church. And so we don't want to just leave you guessing and trying to figure it out for yourself. We want to help lead you through it. And so this is a lot to look at in one day. And so we had one less song than normal, and I'm going to talk really fast. So you've got to pay attention well. You've got to listen quick. But we're going to walk through our membership covenant, and we're going to do it in such a way that we don't just read it. We're going to read it, and then we're going to look from God's word in the mirror of God's word and see why we have in our covenant what we do. And we'll see that it is from God himself. And I believe what this will do is, for maybe some of you who are newer to the church, or newer to church, period. Like, you don't know much about Christianity. You don't know much about church life and membership. This is going to be really helpful for you. For everyone else, and whether you've been a member for a few days or you've been a member for years and years, I believe this is a very healthy reminder. And, you know, Pastor Keith does it so well, but he says often that the church, or really God's people for all time, have proven that we are what? We are monumental forgetters, okay? And we need to be reminded, and we need to have somebody walk us through things and walk us through ultimately God's word. And so what I want to do is start off by just, when we say church membership, I want to define what we mean. When any person on the entire globe, no matter where they are, wherever they exist, if they place their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that he died in their place and he rose bringing life to them, that his spirit is given into that body, like his spirit exists, the Holy Spirit guiding that person. They have given themselves to the Lord, received him as their Lord and Savior. At that point, that person is a part of the body of Christ worldwide. Like, you're part of the body. You're a part of God's family. You come into, you become a part of a people of God. Now that's we could call that, if we want to say you're brought into the church, when we talk about the body, that's just a way of describing God's church. That would be membership that we might call into the capital C, or the universal church. That's everybody that's believed for all time, all Christians all over the world. We're a part of one body of Christ. That exists. That's there. Okay. So when you believed, you became part of that body. But what we are talking about today is, it is a step closer to home. And it's like this. We're going to talk about church membership into the local church, or the local body of believers. And specifically today, membership at Alberta Baptist Church. So what it means to be a member of the body of Christ at Alberta Baptist. And so when we say we're a member, we're saying that Jesus Christ, this is what the scripture teaches, that Jesus Christ, he is the head of his church. So like, you could have me, I'm one of your pastors, Keith is one of your pastors. We could have six or seven other co-pastors. That would be really difficult to be a co-pastor, but you know what I'm saying? We could have however many pastors, hundreds of pastors, and there would still be one head. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mind of the church, the brain of the church. He is the head of the church, and the body is his hands, his feet. The work of his body comes through his people. And so when we become part of the members of the church, we are his body and he is the head. At Alberta Baptist Church, Jesus Christ is the head of this church. We are the body. Okay? So like as you have fingers and you have a hand and arms and legs, so the church, so the body of Christ has a head, Jesus, and has many parts. And if you're a Christian in the room and you're a member, you're part of that body. Okay? And so what we want to do is walk you through what the Lord calls us to as the body of Christ. What the gospel calls us to as Christians, as we relate to each other, as we relate to the Lord, as we relate to people outside of the church. So when we walk through this covenant, hear me out, this is less about, you know, mine or Keith's or any leadership. It's less about our expectation, like for you or for me. And it's more about, it's much bigger than that. It's more about what God and his gospel calls us to when we come to discuss membership in the body or the body of Christ, how we relate to one another, how we relate to God, how we relate to the world outside of us as Alberta Baptist Church. That's what we're going to look at today. Okay. So if you will, go ahead and look there at your outline. We'll start with reading just that first paragraph. And this really, this is the most important paragraph in the whole thing. This is the most important thing that we'll talk about. And it's this, is the membership covenant or membership at this church. For you to come into the church, you have to have placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and received him as Lord and Savior. He is your King. He is your Savior. You have come to him. You have received what he has done, what Christ has done on your behalf as he died in your place and as he rose that you may have life. And you have given yourself to him, submitted your life to Jesus. He's your Lord and he's your Savior. After that, being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I have the privilege of baptizing Michaela Snell next week. Michaela has been a Christian for a few years, but has not been baptized. And next Sunday morning, I have the privilege of doing that. Baptizing her into where she's going to unite with the church through baptism, and she's going to come into our membership. This is healthy, this is right, and this is biblical. And so when we talk about church membership, you have to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You have to place your faith in Christ Jesus, and you have to receive him as Lord and Savior. And being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Once we have done that, when we come into membership here, we want you to know what the Lord calls you to. And he calls you to make we're calling it a covenant, to make a commitment to come before him and before the church saying, here's what we know the Lord desires of us. And we're going to give you three main things. Then we've got a lot of little bullet points woven in. And so before we start that, I'm going to pray for us. And I want to ask, if you will, get your Bible ready. We're going to have scripture on the screen, and there's a lot of scriptures. In fact, I think there's 61 slides, if Jennifer told me the truth. We have a lot of slides, and I'm going to read a lot of scripture. Don't be alarmed by that. Enjoy it. Let God bathe you with his word, okay? Like, enjoy it today. But I would invite you to open up your copy of God's word. And this is a good day to make marks. Write wows. Write a smiley face if you want to. This is a good day to mark up your copy of God's word. This is good stuff. And so let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your word. We pray that you would use it today, as you promised you will. Use it as a mirror. Lord, that as we look into your word, that we would see you, and as we see you and your calling on our life, that we would see where we need to reflect, where we need to repent, where we need to change our lives to walk in line with you, that we would today have a greater, you know, recognition of your goodness and a greater desire for your grace than ever before. And that, Lord, you would help to unite us as a church body, that this church, the Alberta Baptist Church, would be known in all of Tuscaloosa. And I pray throughout the world for being a church who listens to God, who obeys your word, who measures ourselves up against your word, and who responds rightly to the gospel of your son. I pray that would be said of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so look with me there. Given that we have placed our faith in Christ and we've received him as our Lord and Savior and we've been baptized, here's the covenant that we make. And we make this covenant, it's by the grace of God, okay? Every part that we look at, it is by God's grace that we're able to do any of the things that he calls us to. And it's by his grace and the help of his Holy Spirit who he has placed in all of us to empower us to do what he calls us to do, okay? So in light of that, we want to say, number one, that we want to be a people who serve and support the ministry of Alberta Baptist Church. That when we sign up, when we say we're a member, when we come into the membership here, we are saying we will serve and support the ministry of the local church here at Alberta Baptist. That's what we're saying. What all does that mean? Well, look, first, you see the first bullet point there. I mean, it means at least this, that we're going to faithfully participate in our corporate gatherings. We want to be involved in the structured activities in the worship of the church. And so, I mean, here's what I would say to you is this. God desires us to be connected as his people here, and so do we. Like, we want to be as connected as possible in everything we're doing, as unified as possible in everything that we're doing. And we want people to know who we are as a church. And so, like, for you, if you only come and you connect in this room, I mean, I'm glad you're here. That's awesome. But you're missing a large part of what has taken place by not faithfully participating in other times that we gather. Two wonderful opportunities for you to, and kind of a next step would be this. If you currently are here and we want you to faithfully participate in worship, that's a great part of our week. It's one of my favorite times in the world to be here. I love being on the stage preaching. But I would ask you to consider this. Faithfully participate out of a row and get into a circle. So participate in, faithfully participate, connect in one of our life groups, one of our Sunday school classes, both. Get connected in our ministries. We've got a ministry to senior adults, our Golden Hearts ministry. We've got a wonderful college ministry and youth ministry and kids ministry. We've got all kinds of things going on, but we want you to connect and be faithful in connecting so that you can be known by people, so that you can be encouraged by the church body, and honestly, so that you can be more spurred on to love and good works for the Lord. Look with me at the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23 through 25, this is a very common scripture to look at when talking about gathering together. But the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." And I could just stop there and say, when you see this line, it gives us enough reason to need other people around us. When we're left to ourselves trying to hold fast the confession of our faith, we're going to shrivel up. Like, the world is difficult. Things are hard. And honestly, walking the narrow road is difficult. And brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Spirit working through each other to encourage and spur us on for the life that we've been called to. And so you see this here in the text. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And so here's what we want for you at Alberta Baptist Church. And we believe this is what God desires for you as a member of his body. We want you to be in a place, I think several places, where you are being encouraged, where you're being spurred on to love and good works. Now, you can be spurred on, as I hope you're spurred on today, coming from, you know, this pulpit to you and the Lord's using that. That's a great way to be spurred on. But there's a whole nother level when there's that plus someone else sitting across from you, talking that life into you, speaking God's word into you, and then spurring you on to good work, spurring you on to get rid of sin that exists in your life, praying over you that sin would die and that you would have life-giving faith in the Lord. That's the kind of things that we need. And so, you see here that we want you to have faithful participation in our corporate gatherings, not so that we can write up a number for attendance. May we grow 3, 4, 5 times the size we are right now, but not so that we can jot down a number, but because of the joy of Jesus. That's what we want to see. I want to see every seat. I want to see every, I want every name, every person to speak the name of Jesus Christ in this city. That's what we want to see. And I'm telling you, listen, one of the things we got to do is we got to be a part of gathering together. And so as a member of Alberta Baptist, we'll serve and support by faithfully participating, by being involved, by being connected. Secondly, there you see, we'll serve and support the ministry of ABC by giving generously and cheerfully of our resources. Now, there it is very possible that, especially if you didn't grow up in a church environment, it may be really confusing, you know, when you see like people come down front and pick up offering plates and send it around. I don't know what you grew up with. I don't know what you have seen. But the reason why we do that is because giving is part of the worship of the Lord. It's part of what we're called to as God's people to give. God is a giver. And in the greatest sense, he gave his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe would not perish. They wouldn't die, but they'd have everlasting life. God is a giver, and his people ought to be too. And so God teaches us, he trains us as we study even the gospel itself. We learn and we're trained to be givers. And so it's part of worship. It's part of celebrating who he is and understanding who we are in him. And so we want to be people that are generous. We want to be people who, because of what we believe about Jesus, that we bless others. Now, some people are going to be, you know, some people have the gift of generosity. And so they're just like, you know, going around just like making it rain everywhere, you know, and people like that. And it's awesome. Just raining money on them. You know, like, we'll bless you. We'll do this. We'll put you here. I mean, some people just have this gift of just generosity and love, you know, providing things for people and serving people that way. But all of us are called to be generous. All of us. Because God is generous and we are his people. It's a beautiful picture of our faith in him when we give. We want to give generously and cheerfully of our resources. That's not just money. We need to be sacrificial with our finances, yes. But we need to be sacrificial with our time, with the gifts that God's given us, with the responsibilities and opportunities that we have, with talents, with everything, with our lives. We want to be sacrificial and give it to the Lord. And that's part of what, when we say we're a member of Alberta Baptist Church, we're saying, man, we're going to support and we're going to serve this church by giving of what we have. Now, I do want to speak for just a second on specifically money, because that's something that we don't address very often. And honestly, I think sometimes when we do, there's going to be somebody in the room that's going to say, well, man, that's self-serving. You know, Colby's part of the budget, so it's self-serving when he talks about it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. There ain't nothing self-serving about me leading you to give. That is God's call on our lives to be givers. It is for your life that we stand before you and lead you, and for us to be givers too. So when we talk about giving, there's all kinds of things that can mean. But I want to walk you through one place that I think this is just a great time. When we talk about membership, we want to serve and support what God's doing through the body here at Alberta Baptist Church. And so some of you, raise your hand if you have ever seen a budget here at the church. Raise your hand. Like you've ever seen one of the church budgets. Okay. Not enough of you. Okay. So like some of you may look at this. I remember looking at this when I was a youth pastor back in the day and, you know, wasn't as mature as Jared. And so like, I would see these and I would think, you know, like this is really important, but I don't think I want to memorize it right now. it got close to the time when I was going to be in the position I was in, that I'm in now. And I remember studying this thing and learning way more about it than I ever wanted to. And going back to the times when I sweated a lot in accounting, and enter back this. But this is not something to be stressed over. This is something to celebrate. This is part of vision. This is part of what God's called us to do. And as a member of the church, we want to generously support what God's doing through this church. There is $190,000 worth of church partnerships in our budget. Stuff that goes outside of us. That's good. We want to support it. We want to give. We want to see God do even more. In 2 weeks, we've got a guy that's coming from Lifeline. It's talking to us about foster care and an opportunity to help with the foster care system in Tuscaloosa. Guess what? It's going to take sacrifice if we're able to say yes to it. But I believe it is incredibly biblical what he's going to share with us and the opportunity for us to serve. It's like a softball toss given to us. But listen, guys, we got to serve and support it for it to happen. So this is good and godly, and it's something that we have to be aware of. And so what I want to ask you to do is just sometime, man, if you're a member of the church, check out the budget. We're about to go in through budget planning. See what, when you give to the Lord through the church, see what God's doing. See what's happening. You got partnership. And also, real quick, just on the self-serving thing. When you give to the Lord here at Alberta Baptist Church, you help support my family. Like, you literally, my family is supported financially through when we give. That is absolutely true. Cindy is supported. Keith is supported. Jared is supported. Kyle is supported. But what I want to tell you is this. Don't take that and say we have $190,000 worth of missions and then we have other stuff. There is nothing that is anti-mission about having Cindy here. There is nothing anti-missions about having Kyle Bryant working with college ministry. Okay, it is the mission. And we're leading the church in it. And so see that when you give the church, you're given to the Lord's work in this city. And so let's be a people who, if we're a member here, let's give generously and cheerfully of our resources. One of the greatest worship experiences I had in the past year was sitting in front of my computer. I was downstairs. I was in my office. It was about 8 o'clock at night. And we'd been praying over what the Lord has called us to do here. And ultimately the money needed to fund such a work. And I went down to my office. I sat in front of the computer on our website. And I had to consider deeply the way that we spend money as a family. I had to think about what grocery store I was going to go to. I had to think about what it meant when I click yes to a weekly amount that would come out. But we decided as a family that we would give a particular amount. And listen, you can get online and you can literally click on our giving section what you want to give and how often. And it comes out, and the only way you can stop it is by telling it no. So like every Sunday when the offering plate's going around, it's another worship experience for me. When I think through what I know is going on through our finances and with our family in line of giving. And so whether you get your check ready at night and polish your shoes and have it in your Bible with a Sunday school lesson tucked in, or whether it is you give online, use the barcode, use whatever. Listen, it is an act of worship when we give generously to the Lord and his work, okay? And as a member, we want to lead you to that. And so one scripture here to see, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 says, "For as the rich in this present age charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches," which, by the way, we have all done, whether we mean to or not, we set our hopes sometimes on things that will not ultimately bring hope. "But set it on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. This is they, meaning us, the body. Man, we're to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future so that they take hold of that which is truly life. It's reminding us of Jesus' words where he says, for where your treasure is, finish it, church, there your heart will be also. Man, when we give, this helps to focus us on or have the right perspective on even what we own and who God is. Last scripture for this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 has one of my favorite phrases when it comes to generosity and the giving to the church. Verse 7 says, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, as you excel in everything, as you excel in what you're doing, as you excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this grace also. One shows us that giving is a grace, that being generous is a grace to our lives. And he says this, as you excel in being welcoming, as you excel in serving in this area, as you excel in teaching, as you excel in this, excel also in being generous, my friends. That's what he's saying. That's what we say too. So that's what the Lord's been speaking into my life personally, and want to communicate that to you. So we will serve and support the ministry of ABC by faithfully participating and by giving generously and cheerfully of our resources. Thirdly there, we serve and support the ministry of ABC by embracing the vision that God has given to us and the mission of our church. And that is to know God, to find community, and to live on mission. And so we want that to be just a constant help to you. It's helping equip you for the work of ministry, Ephesians 4, when we lead you in such a way that says no matter what you're doing, whether it's you're at work, you're at home, you're in life group, you're in corporate worship here, you're in the hallway, you're doing anything, always be thinking, man, how can we be a part of helping people know the Lord, know God, find community, and make a difference in this world and live on mission? That's what we want to see happen in all areas of your life. We especially want to see it as we come together here at ABC. So we'll serve and support the ministry by embracing the vision. And then lastly there, by praying for the membership, by praying for the ministry, by praying for the mission. I'm not going to ask of hands, but I mean, I would imagine if I said, hey, who in here honestly struggles praying for the membership? You'd have some hands shoot up. And what I want to say to you is this, you're not alone in that. Now, there are some people who, I mean, if they have one thing they do better than anything else in the world, it's pray. And that's a great thing to excel at, by the way. There are a lot of people here that I do believe they excel in praying or constantly asking how they can pray for the church body and for the membership, the ministry, and the mission. But I want to encourage that. That's a job for all of us, to be communicating to the Lord, to be asking and seeking and knocking, asking the Lord to do a great work in the lives of our members and in the work that he's doing through our church body. And so one thing with membership, if you are not receiving emails, you need to let us know. So you can mark that down and put it in the offering plate or drop it off afterwards in the front. We want to know that you're not receiving emails because Marlinda and Gloria do a phenomenal job of updating us day to day, sometimes hour to hour, about needs that need to be prayed for in our church. On Wednesday nights, we gather in this room and we study God's word, but we gather a lot to pray, and we pray over people by name. We pray for people who are members of our church that aren't allowed or not able to be here because of their health. We pray for the missionaries that have come out from this church. We gather to pray. And so, like, you need to be aware of what's going on so you can pray. Our life group, one of my favorite things, I'm at Ethan and Kara Blankenship's house. And my favorite thing that we do as a life group is we spend significant time having where people can pray over one another. And so I have somebody that is going to pray for me tonight, and I will have the privilege of praying for someone else. And so somebody knows where my life is like and how to pray for my family. Like we want to be a church that prays. And so we'll serve and support the ministry of ABC by faithfully participating, by giving generously, by embracing the vision, and by praying. By praying for the membership, ministry, and mission of our church. I want to ask you to look there at the second spot. So we'll serve and support the ministry. But secondly, we want to protect, as a member of Alberta Baptist Church, we want to protect the unity of ABC. I'm going to read for you out of Ephesians 4, and I think out of the 61 slides, I don't think this is actually in there, this part, but Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And there's this language that we looked at in Romans 12. We see it again here, but he says stuff like this. When he's writing, verse 4, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Listen, when we talk about unity, it does not mean that every one of us, every member at the church, agrees with everything. Okay, I can attest, I do not agree with everything that I read that you post on Facebook. Okay, like I do not have to agree with everything that we say. You don't have to agree with everything that I think for us to be unified. Unity, one, is going to be about what we believe in the closed hand. And that is what we believe about Jesus Christ and how we have come to know and love and cherish him, that we are in one spirit. We go by one book. We have one Lord and he is leading us all. And we have one mission. So we're connected in unity. All of these opportunities for peace, things that may be that we can have differences on, it doesn't mean you're not unified. It just means we actually have to submit and love each other well when we disagree on things. So it doesn't mean you have to agree. You don't all have to like the same football team. Actually, both teams played pretty well yesterday. But I'm just saying, I wasn't stressed last night. That's all I'm going with. But we don't have to like the same football team. You don't have to like the same food. You don't have to agree on everything in life, but we want to be unified in what is non-negotiable in the faith. That is who Christ is, what Christ has done, and what he is still to do in our lives and who we are in him. We connect and we're unified there. And so when we talk about unity, this is something that is very important for us, and it's going to filter into our next section. When we talk about enhancing the testimony, one of the greatest testimonies we can give to the world is that we're a people who are unified and we love one another. That's a phenomenal testimony that the world needs to see. So we want to protect the unity. The first bullet point there is protect by loving one another in our submission, service, and speech. And so we've talked a lot about loving one another recently. We looked a couple weeks ago at Romans 12 at the verse, "Let love be genuine. Let it be the real thing. You know, let it be non-hypocritical." So we want to love each other well. Jesus in chapter 13 of John, he said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." And he says, "By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another." And so we want to love each other. How? How do we love each other? Here's three ways: in our submission, our service, and our speech. When I say submission, I want you to think about Philippians 2. And once again, this came out loudly a couple weeks ago. But Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. And Paul is saying this church is the very mind of Christ himself. This is Jesus' attitude that he has. may we have it when we relate to each other. So like we have to, and maybe especially when we don't, maybe we're not jiving on some things that are, we really need to be able to submit in love to each other. We need to be able to love and serve alongside people that maybe otherwise we might not have that much in common with. It's learning to submit because we have reverence for Jesus Christ. So by loving one another in our submission, by loving one another in our service. I love 1 Peter 4:10. I want you to see it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift. Okay, so like all of us have received a gift from the Lord. Like he gifts us when we come into his kingdom. He says, use it to what? To serve one another. So, I mean, that's a wonderful thought. Like, I can know that God has gifted me in certain areas. You can know that God has gifted you. But the question is, are you using that gift to build up the body? Are you using that gift to serve the people who are part of the body of Christ here at Alberta Baptist? He says, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Ephesians 4 talks about the next part where we're not just gonna we're loving one another in our submission, in our service, we're gonna use our gifts to serve, but also in our speech and how we speak to one another. And honestly, let us be known for speaking to one another and speaking about one another in this way. Look at Ephesians 4. Verse 29, we have to have this conversation in our house a good bit when my kids are speaking to each other. And recently, sometimes how they speak to us. Okay, this is not, it's not healthy. I might need parenting advice after. But Ephesians 4 says this, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such is good for building up. Now, I want you to imagine if that was all that ever took place. So like if we all were Philippians 2 all the time, we didn't consider ourselves first, we considered other people. We didn't look just to our own interests, but we considered the interests of other people. If we had the attitude of Jesus all the time and we came to everywhere, every conversation we were in, we used it to build up, not break down. Can you imagine the effects that would have on this world? Like seriously, like that, what a great text. He says, but only such is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, what I'm going to say is this. As part of a membership of Alberta, man, we want to push one another for our speech to be words of grace, to build up and not break down, to make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ, not build up a wall where people can't see him. Will protect the unity of ABC in our submission, service, and speech. Flowing directly into that, the next bullet point, protect the unity by extending forgiveness and grace to one another. Ephesians 4, staying with the same text there, look at verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Verse 32, here it is. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And here it is. This is how we measure. We look to the gospel. As God in Christ, he forgave you. Church, if God has forgiven us in Christ, may we never withhold our forgiveness from someone else. We will protect the unity of ABC by extending forgiveness and grace to each other. And lastly, there in that section, by faithfully following the leadership of ABC. And this is obviously a humble place for me, but I do want to share a verse with you that I believe shows my heart and Keith's heart very well. And here it is. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. This is something that I think about often. It says, to obey your leaders and submit to them. And that's something that I humbly walk into. But look at this next part. For they are keeping watch over your souls. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. It is a go to bed at night and wake up reality that part of my job as one of your pastors is to look after your very soul. That's a big deal. Listen, when it says to faithfully follow, if you ever see us out of line with Scripture, if you ever saw something inconsistent with my life, brother or sister, please come to me. Please, for the glory of God, come to me. But in light of the way I believe that we lead you, listen, we're watching out for your soul. Okay, so thank you for how you follow us. Thank you for how you encourage us. Thank you for how you pray for us. But that's part of what when we come into the membership of the church, it's important how we view the leadership. And so we'll serve and support the ministry. We'll protect the unity. And lastly, listen, we'll enhance the testimony. We will enhance the testimony of ABC. Look at that first bullet point. It says, by living a self-controlled and spirit-filled life to the glory of God. When we're talking about giving a testimony to the world about our faith and about the Lord, one of the greatest areas that we can show them is that we're a people of self-control in a world that has none. Titus chapter 2 says these words. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us, like he's teaching us, he's training us as we look to the cross, as we see what he's done, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. My friends, listen, if we need to be a people who we live lives that are self-controlled, they're godly, that they represent the Jesus that is our Lord. It's worthy of a manner of the gospel, like worthy of the life that we've been called to. A self-controlled and spirit-filled life. One of my favorite texts on spirit-filled is this, is Paul, it's Ephesians 5. He says, listen, don't be controlled with wine. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by something, for that's debauchery. He says, but be filled, but be controlled by something better. Be controlled by the Spirit. Be controlled by God. Like he could say, man, don't be filled. Don't be controlled by lust. Be controlled by the Spirit. Don't be controlled by greed. Be controlled by the Spirit. Don't be controlled by bitterness. Be controlled by the Spirit. Be filled with the Lord. That's the testimony we want to leave in this world. And so when we come to be a member of Alberta, we're saying we want to enhance the testimony. We want to make a difference in that way. We also want to next be a blessing to God's people. We want to be a blessing. We've already talked about Ephesians 4, but we want to speak words of grace. We want to be an encouragement to people. We want to spur others on. We want to be a blessing. Verse 9 of 1 Peter 3 says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Man, we want to enhance the testimony by the way we live and by the way we bless. Thirdly, by seeking the good of our community. We want to be salt and light here in the community. As we go to work, as we're with our families, as we're out and about, as we're doing anything that we are called to, we need to see the truth here that we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. Jesus said that you are a city set on a hill and it cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. May it be a testimony to our church that the people of Alberta City and the people of Tuscaloosa, that they see what God is doing through us and they give glory to our God. That may seem like that is possible, people. That's what will happen, I believe, as we serve this city with love and with truth. Lastly, man, let's have a testimony. Let's enhance the testimony of ABC as we set our hearts on the nations. as we make it our desire for the Great Commission to be fulfilled, as we make a difference in the world by pointing people to Jesus and teaching them how to follow him rightly. Matthew 28, verse 16, or verse 18 through 20, says, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." We want to be a people who are known by the way that we love each other, by the way that we love the community that we're in, and by the way that we love the whole world. That we really believe what the Bible teaches about people's need for Jesus enough to go to our neighbors and to go to the nations. As a member of Alberta Baptist, these are the things that God is calling us to. To once again, as we get ready to go to the Lord's table, we're going to have a time of singing, of worship through song. But then we're going to come to the Lord's table. And listen, as we come and as we sing, let's remember, let's look at what we've seen today, but let's reflect, and let's, if necessary, repent. Like, let's look at areas maybe where we've looked in the mirror and we go, "Man, that's not consistent with my life." And let's change. Change by the power of God and the grace of God. Let's be a people who will serve and support the ministry here, be a people who protect the unity, and a people who enhance the testimony of this local body here at Alberta Baptist Church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time that we have had today. I